Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Thursday, December 26th. And I am, let's see, today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 67. Paragraph 2, which begins with referring to our list again and ends with set these matters straight, commenting on that one paragraph today. Today's readers are Kathy B. for the 12 steps, Kelly H. for the 12 traditions, Kara L. will read and share today, Shelly E. has a stamp for 164, and Margaret D. is here for backup. We also have lovely newcomer greeter Yvonne A. and Leslie M. with some announcements for you. The reference number for yesterday's Wednesday's Vision for You meeting is 22023. That's for the 10 a.m. meeting, 22023. And the reference number for today's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 22025. That's 22025. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery, and I will now ask Kathy B. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. My name is Kathy B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Oklahoma. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning. I pass.
Thank you so much for your service, Kathy B. And I will now ask Kelly H. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Kelly H. from North Carolina, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 4. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kelly H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers, 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. Have a quiet meeting. Everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 67, paragraph 2, begins with referring to our list. And I will now ask Kara L. to please begin reading for us.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Referring to our list again, we put out of our minds the wrongs others had done, and we resolutely look for our own mistakes. Where have we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person's involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight. Good morning, everyone. This is Kara, recovered compulsive overeater in Long Beach, California. I love this. This is actually the part of my 4th and 10 steps that really helped me move forward out of a resentment. Once I've prayed for the person and I look how I can be compassionate and loving, I look to myself. And there's some things I still need every time have my higher power help me with. You know, where am I selfish? Well, usually I'm selfish because I have a fixed mindset and, you know, I think things need to go a certain way. And when I do that, I really limit what my higher power can do for me. So as soon as I realize I'm doing that, I say, you know, higher power, you know, show me whatever you need. You know, how can I serve in this moment? It gets easier and simpler, right? Dishonest. What lie am I telling self? I'm telling myself, you know, something. And then what is really the truth? That often brings me about to more compassion because I see where I've made the other person the bad guy, or I've, you know, or I'm worried about something, or there's a fear there that really helps clear that up. Self-seeking. Oh, my favorite is the victim. I love to be the victim and the director, followed by the martyr. Those three things, I know those roles well. You know, so when I see I'm in that mode, I have to reach out to my higher power and say, help, help me. Fear. Most of the time, if I'm resentful, it's because I'm fearful about something. Generally, it's that I'm not going to be enough, right? I'm just not going to be enough. And so when I see those things, it helps me form that 8-step list, right, of character defects. So then I can go to, I mean, not 8-step, 6-step list, sorry. Then I can go in the 7th step and say, you know, higher power, help me. Help me to remove these things, you know. And it really makes then that resentment almost a gift, because it's helping me unpeel. When I do the work, I get to unpeel the layers and get further down and further in sync with my higher power. Today I remember things in my life that are simple and lovely are my higher power. Things that are hard and complex and difficult, they're me. So I'm so grateful we have these steps that help me uncover things that are blocking me to, you know, having a simple, beautiful, love service life. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Kara L. Appreciate that. So we value everybody's experience. We ask that you limit your share to every 3rd day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on page 67, paragraph 2, please press *1 to unmute and give me your name. We'd love to hear your insights. Don't all jump in at once.
Diane B.
Diane B.
Freya H.
Freya H. Anyone else?
Sonia H.
Sonia H. Why don't we go with this, and then we'll take another lineup. So Diane B., Freya H., and Sonia H. Please share with us, Diane.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Diane B. in Tarrytown, New York. Thank you. That was a wonderful, wonderful lead-in, Tara. Thank you. So I've been told that when I look at these things of where have I been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, or frightened, that's the key to my future. Until I can really take a look at those things, I couldn't see where I was at fault. I was always blaming. It was always everybody else's fault. You know, it was my mother, my father, my siblings, my ex, whoever, you know, my boss. It was always somebody else's fault. And this actually gave me a way to focus in and see what I had been doing, right? And of course, first I had to put out of my mind the wrongs that others had done. I had to get rid of that stuff out of my head. And the papers that I use, the format that I use for my 4th step, you actually fold over that part, and it just has the person's name, and then it has this section of where have I been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. And as we just heard from our speaker that this is also from the 10th step. So, you know, it was time for me to, like, let go of being the victim. It was time for me to let go of blaming everybody else, you know. When I was growing up, I always took the blame in my family. I was the youngest child. And, you know, if anything happened, it was Diane did it. And whether I did it or not, I just accepted it because it happened all the time. I was always, or most of the time, I was getting blamed for things that I clearly didn't even do, but I would take the blame. And finally, when I started doing this work, it was like, okay, I can take the blame. I can see what I have done. But that doesn't mean I've done all of it. It just means I've done my piece of it, right? And it even goes into that, though a situation had not been entirely my fault. It hasn't been. But I did have to put that out of my mind and just take responsibility for what I had done. And that's really the biggest thing. That's where I learned to grow up, taking responsibility for my own actions. So I don't know, I guess that's great. And I'm going to pass with that. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Diane B. in New York. Freya H. are up next, followed by Sonia H.
Hi, it's Freya H. Grateful, recovered, compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor in Colorado. Thank you for your service, everybody. Referring to our list again, it's giving me permission to put out of my mind the wrongs others had done. And that is so huge. Like I feel this relief of, oh, I just get to focus on myself. I don't have to wait for other people to change. And then I get to look at what's going on with me. And often what is going on with me is in my attitudes. You know, the selfishness is part of my attitude. The dishonesty is an attitude. The fear is, you know, drives all those attitudes. And then the only place it tends to come out is in the self-seeking. The self-seeking is what I actually do, the actual behaviors. So there's a lot underneath, and then the stuff that comes out on the surface is just like the tip of the iceberg. So I love this process for getting to dig in and look at where have I been wrong? Because prior to this process, I really couldn't see my wrongs. I'm like, well, I didn't do anything. But what I didn't realize is that it's so much of it was in my attitude, driven by fear. You know, that tends to be the driver. And then when things come out on the, you know, come out on the outside, it's like, that's like the kind of the last thing, you know, the last thing is my behavior. So this idea that, yes, other people have wronged me. And no, it's not entirely my fault. This isn't about saying I'm the problem. Everything's my fault. Everyone else is totally, you know, not, you know, like they have no part at all. But it just frees me to look at what I can change, what I can invite my higher power into. So there's so much freedom here. And in order to access this, I really need this sick man's prayer and that idea that, hey, this is a sick person. And rather than finding that like that some kind of terrible problem, just to accept it, like, yeah, like we're all spiritually sick. So am I. And I, you know, when I hear people say, well, like, I'm the one with the program, I used to think that was so unfair. And sometimes I still do, you know, just like, well, how come I have to be the one with the program and they don't get to have a program? And when it comes down to it, it's about what's most useful. You know, like, how does it serve me to hang on to that idea that I have to have a program and they don't and it's not fair? It doesn't serve me. You know, do I want to hang on to that or do I want to find peace? And ultimately, if I'm willing to just let go of, you know what, maybe other people are wrong, but I don't want to wait around. I want peace when I can go through this. So the last thing I'll say is, we place them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly. We're willing to set these matters straight. That's really, thank you, just preparation for steps 8 and 9. So this is really a heart experience of, you know, letting God change me from the inside out. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Freya R. Sonia H. is up next. And after that, we're going to take another lineup. We're commenting on page 67, paragraph 2, which begins with referring to our list and ends with willing to make these matters straight. So, Sonia H., please share with us.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm Sonia H. from California. Thank you, moderator, for everyone else who has served this morning. The beauty of this program, before coming into recovery, I cannot even fathom what my part was. I had no skills as far as looking at, you know, what I had done. All I could do was point out other people's issues, their actions, their attitudes, and I cannot see that I have my own. What I like here is all of it, actually, but this part where we admitted our wrongs honestly. First, I had to admit that I was dishonest. You know, I had to admit that I was a manipulator. I had to admit that, you know, I was doing the self-seeking. And of course, as was what was said below, that fear was underlying everything. But I like the second part, and we were willing to set these matters straight. you know, that was a whole nother part I had to be, to get to be willing to set the matter straight, be willing to say I'm sorry, be willing to take different action. Be willing to look and see that I have a pattern of dealing with people, situations, and things when they were not going the way that I thought that they should. And be willing to set it straight means that I need to change my attitudes and behaviors for the long term, not just momentarily. I really like all of the readings that we've done so far, but this part, seeing it in black and white, showed me clearly over and over again when I listed my resentment what my part was. Like, oh, I did this again. Oh, I did this again. Oh, in this situation, it's the same thing. Oh, I do this all the time. Wow. And to be open to see who I actually am in my relationships with other people and what I could change through the help of my higher power. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Sonia H. Though we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on paragraph 2, page 67, which starts with referring to our list again and ends with set these matters straight, we would love to hear from you. Please press star 1 to unmute and let me know.
This is Kelly H., North Carolina.
Thank you, Kelly H.
Arnie Z. from Texas.
Arnie Z.
Linda G. from Alabama.
Linda G. Anybody else?
Betsy H.
from Vermont.
Betsy H. And then somebody from Vermont.
Joanne B.
Joanne B. Okay, we have room for a few more if anybody else like to get in this lineup. Okay, we're going to go with Kelly H., Arnie F., Linda G., Betsy H., and Joanna B. So if you're not Kelly H., please star 1 to mute your phone. And Kelly, please share with us.
Hi, this is Kelly H. I'm sorry, something came up. I can't share right now. Thank you.
I'll bring you down lower on the list then. So Arnie F., would you like to speak now?
Yes, good morning. This is Arnie Z., as in zebra, from Texas. Thank you for your service.
Oops, thank you.
That's okay. You know, what caught me here is the inventory is ours, not the other man's. When we see our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. I'm pretty blocked. I can't see my selfishness. I can't see my dishonesty. And one of the things that has helped me is a lot has been my sponsor, and I've got this worksheet now that I can see some things that list some selfishness traits, and I go down this little list, and then it starts opening my eyes of, oh yeah, this is where I'm being selfish. You know, this is where I'm being dishonest. This is where I've been self-seeking, and what's coming out of all this is I'm doing this written inventory. I'm playing the victim. I start seeing patterns, you know, and I and of course fear shows up there in all of these, and you know what it reminds me of right before this, it told us that our troubles we think are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot. Though I usually don't think so. And so this helps me start seeing, you know, that they are. They're arising out of me. And then when I realize I have no control over it because they're deeply ingrained beliefs, and these are the things that I'm gonna have to need God's help to help me change me. And then that statement that says, you know, I've got to quit playing God. First of all, I have to quit playing God. I start seeing now where I'm playing God because somebody's not following my script, my expectations, and then I'm driven by fear, and so then I start manipulating. All these character defects start popping up, trying to make it conform to my will. And so it just helps me see my messiness, and then I become accountable. And it's just amazing that the you know, if I start seeking what's underneath it, I really get down to causes and conditions where it talks about. And I'm just grateful that these are spiritual awakenings that happen once I start doing the pen to paper. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Arnie Z. Linda G, you're up next, followed by Betsy H.
Hi, I'm Linda G, a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. This process really set me free in a major way. I had been tormented by a work situation that had occurred 32 years ago, and I had been carrying pain over that for 32 years. And when I did my fourth step, I looked at that and was shocked to find out I had been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened, that I had set that ball rolling. And it astonished me to see that I had a part in that whole thing, and that I wasn't in program at the time. And boy, my character defects ran riot, ran over me like a steamroller, and I acted out like crazy. I only wish I had program then and had a higher power to show me what I was doing wrong, because it would have been an entirely different outcome if I had. A woman I was friendly with took over my job and eased me out of the company I loved, and I fought it. I fought it so hard because I was terrified of leaving, and I didn't know what would happen to me, and I was offered an opportunity to leave with a golden recommendation, and I didn't take it. I fought it, and it was a big mistake. It was a horrible situation I put myself through, and if I'd only had program, I would have handled it entirely differently. I saw that in my selfishness and my self-seeking and my dishonesty and my fear, I had created the whole situation. And in seeing that, I was relieved of a terrific burden. I wanted to find these people and make amends to them. And it was impossible for me to find them. I have no idea where they are. And I'm so sorry about that, because I'd really like to get in touch with them and make amends. I guess the only way I can do that is by writing a letter. But I just mirrored my parental situation with them and acted out like crazy. And I am so sorry for that. I wish I could change it. I really do. But it set me free. I saw what I had done, and I'm not bound by that pain anymore.
Thank you, Amanda.
Of that burden. Thank you very much. Thank you for letting me share. I appreciate it. I pass.
Thank you very much, Linda. Really appreciate it. Okay, Betsy H., you're up next, followed by Joanna B.
Hi, this is Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. And this paragraph is talking about this fifth column of my four-step inventory, and I think it's the most important one. Yes, it is humbling. It could be devastating to see my part, because naturally I just want to blame other people, and I want to feel like, by comparison, I'm so great, I'm so good and pure. But then, actually, it's the most empowering, because when I'm blaming people, I'm a victim, you know, and it's like waiting for them to change so that I can be okay or I can be in recovery. Oh, that doesn't work at all. I could be waiting forever. But doing this inventory, when I look for my part, all I have to do is clean up my part of the street. And this is very important for keeping me abstinent and in recovery today. First, maybe it's not a problem for normal people. I don't know, because I'm not a normal person. But for me, a compulsive reader who wants to be in recovery, my part, you know, my selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, afraid, this is like a problem for my recovery. These are things that block me from having a good cell phone connection with my higher power. I need a good cell phone connection, a good Wi-Fi connection with my higher power, because I need that power to come in and solve my food problem and to solve all my problems. So this is a very transformative thing, just to be like, okay, I'm going to clean up my side of the street. Maybe they had more on their side of the street, but you know, there's probably something on my side of the street that I can clean up, and then I can be free. Then I don't have to overeat over it. I don't have to be a victim to what other people are doing. I can be okay, you know, no matter what they're doing, and I can just keep going and have a day of abstinence and recovery. And it's hard to do this work, to look where I have screwed up. I've definitely done things I'm very ashamed of. But through this process, I don't suffer from it hardly at all, or nearly as much anymore, because this kind of cleans it up and I don't have to keep replaying it in my mind as much, all the stupid things or shameful things or wrong things I've done in the past. You know, it kind of frees me up to be able to move forward in a positive way today and just take steps forward today for my recovery. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much. Next up is Joanna B. in Vermont. And then we'll take another lineup. We're commenting on page 67, paragraph 2. Please share with us, Joanne.
Good morning. This is Joanne B. From Vermont, compulsive overeater. So glad to be in this meeting today and to read this paragraph. A lot of great shares so far. I think for me, it's like, well, I had to really, it's like turning the microscope around on myself rather than turning it and looking and examining others. That can be really exhausting, to be constantly looking at other people and finding out, like, looking at what I think are their flaws, what they're doing wrong, how it's affecting me. So self-centered way to live, really. And what this program does, with what the 12 steps do, is like to turn things around and have me look at myself. And sometimes that's really hard to do, because it makes me think of like page 417 in the big book, Acceptance. When something, I won't read it for you, but it's like when something's bothering me, it's because there's something that I feel that I can't accept about a person, place, situation. And it's not really about them. It's about me. And it's about what my preconceived beliefs are about how I think things should be and what I find acceptable and what I think is right. And really, that's not my business. That's none of my business, really. The only business I have is really, when I get feeling that way, if I'm mad at somebody, angry at somebody, irritated at somebody, on the surface layer, it's like, okay, well, what are they doing? What are they saying? How are they acting? But then I have to go below the surface layer and start digging and figure out what it is that I find offensive and why. And when I do that, it kind of like, it makes me realize like that we're all human. I'm human. I have flaws. Everyone has flaws. So when I start looking at myself, it makes me forgive others and see that we're all just humans, and we're all flawed, and we all make mistakes. And when I start uncovering these things about myself, I can kind of head it off at the pass next time, and I get better at just being more accepting of others as they are, and just refocusing my efforts on, like, well, what can I do? What can I do to help others? How can I be helpful in a situation? And during this Christmas season, that's sort of like what I've been doing. It's like, if I start getting, yeah, thanks. I immediately look, what can I do? And sometimes it's something as easy as like, I'm going to do the dishes now. I'm going to clean up. I'm going to shut my mouth. But anyway, thanks for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for sharing, Joanne B. And Kelly H., I'd like to check with you to see if you're available now to share. Okay, well, let's take another lineup, and if Kelly checks in here, then we'd love to hear from her, too. Who'd like to comment
Polly
on page 67?
Marcia D.
Okay, Polly Q. and Marcia D.
Sarah N.
Sarah N. And I think one more, maybe two more.
Jeff A.
Jeff A. And just in case, anybody else? Okay, we'll leave it at that in case Kelly's able to join us again. Polly Q, please share with us, and you'll be followed by Marcia D, then Sarah M, then Jeff A.
Thank you, moderator. Thank you for your service. Can you hear me?
You sound great.
Okay, great. So I had to get on the phone this morning and order a prescription from some place I've been ordering for a bazillion years, and my medical insurance company, and they must have changed the recording or something. Anyway, it was this paragraph in action. I became immediately impatient. I became like, and yet at the same time, I know I have a problem with institutions. And when they wrote this big book, institutions were, I'm sure people had a problem with them for sure. But now everything is institutionalized. I mean, we have computer systems. We are computerized. And so you can't even like, so I get mad at those systems, okay, which is just completely absurd and crazy. But I will, I'll get frustrated by those, and I'm not the only one that does. And then it's really frustrating because that system doesn't care. And so it's just so absurd. But when I finally talked to a human being, I knew, okay, I'm going to have to explain this. I'm feeling that thing in the pit of my stomach, which is going to make me want to eat food. Okay. I have to avoid starting an argument. So, I explain right away that, it's frustrating that, and so if you hear frustration in my voice, it's not about you. But the truth of the matter is, this trips me up all the time, these institutions. So I'm the one, it's like beating myself up over the head. And this 10-step process that I use now, because I certainly had institutions on it and I've done the 4 steps, but this process now I have to take through a 10th step because I have to be relieved of my disease, which is going to attack me because of a broken computer system. And I'm not going to get my way. I'm going to have to do more. Oh, gosh, isn't that awful? But the thing that's really absurd is I'm upset at a computer program, at a process. And it's deadly for me as an addict because I will eat over it. And there's no one to blame. But I'm going to find something to blame anyway because my ego is going to attack me from the inside because I'm an addict. And I'll lead over it. I can't afford to do it. I have to avoid retaliation and argument. I have to do a 10th step because I have to calm my system down and reach God. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Polly Q. Marcia D., you're up next, followed by Sarah M.
Good morning, OA family. This is Marcia D. in Ohio, Eastern Standard. And yeah, the text is really speaking to me, as are all of your shares this morning. You know, it's just a gift in this program to be able to continually look at, you know, where am I being selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and frightened. And it's very eye-opening to see, you know, on a daily basis, sometimes an hourly basis, how that comes up for me. You know, prior to program, I don't think I would have really thought that. I took a lot of other people's inventories. But, yeah, what I wanted to comment on specifically was just I'm kind of feeling the letdown of a beautiful Christmas celebration. It was a nice combination of service to others, time with family, and an impromptu visit with some old friends. And I almost went to bed just feeling so peaceful. And my 18-year-old son made a comment toward me that was really negative. And then he came in and he started to kind of unleash on me all the things that bothers him that I thought were special for the holiday. And so today I'm just kind of licking my wounds a little bit. And so it's convicting to hear all of you share. It's like, okay, yeah, I can stay in this space and wallow and take his inventory and how dare he, or I can really look at it, you know. So I'm taking some time away from the family today. In part, it started out as, you know, I want them to feel my absence. But the truth is I also need to take some time in concentrated prayer. And you know, I'm adjusting to being the mother, the single mom of young children to adult children, and well, a 16 and an 18-year-old, and it's proving difficult. I'm really missing what was. I'm missing my parents. I'm missing a lot. So, yeah, underneath resentment can be fear, but for me today, it's some heavy sadness too. Not that there isn't good in my life and good in the world, but yeah, it's just kind of left me with a heavy heart. So thanks for listening. I'm going to keep working my program, and thanks, I pass.
Thanks so much for sharing, Marcia D. Appreciate that. Okay, Sarah N. is up next, followed by Jeff A.
Hi, thank you. Good morning. Thank you for your service, everyone. My name is Sarah, and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater in the state of Washington. And I love this paragraph, that, you know, putting in context with the previous paragraph, I was reviewing those again, and it's like, I think the second or third time that it's asked us to look at the list again. So the first thing that was coming up for me was, again, the victim status. So basically, as a child, like, you know, where did my stuff come from? So as a child, whenever I was hurt or wronged by someone, I would go to my mom and I'd cry. You know, the kids at school picked on me, my siblings picked on me, and she would often say, here's a towel, go cry into it, you know, and so feel my feelings. But I never had the tools to deal with it, to go back and deal with that. So I just, you know, was conditioned to be a victim, and then took that into my adult years. It was like, poor me, poor me, poor me. And I was never getting what I wanted. I didn't have friends. I didn't have a boyfriend or a husband. And it wasn't until I came into this program and worked this stuff and had really good sponsors who were able to help me understand my part. And the paragraphs right before this are so helpful, learning about, like, the sick man's prayer, are just so helpful to getting to that point of seeing my part. And I'll just never forget, for me, after I'd done this, you know, my most thorough fifth step, it was just this giant aha moment of all these wrongs that others had done to me. It was almost like if I listed, had two columns, and here's all the things that had been done to me. Well, I had done all those same things, but just to different people. I just had to move it around. It's like, oh, okay. And yeah, playing the director, wanting them to be different than they were.
this really just helped me learn to forgive and what it was that I wanted. And again, the previous paragraph, it talks about, you know, the hours that we could have been helpful instead of holding on to all these resentments and how we could be useful. So in doing this over and over, you know, continuous in the 10th step is getting out of that victim status for me and seeing how I can be helpful, how I can be a productive member of society. So thank you for allowing me to share, and thank you for all your shares. It's been a beautiful morning. Wish you all a great day.
Thank you. You too, Sarah M. Jeff A., you will be our last share for today, and we have time for 2 minutes. So please
minutes.
Share with
okay.
us.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Jeff A. in California. Based on the last few shares, I could pretty much stop now. yesterday, people came to our house, and it was a good day. But someone said something later on in the day that really annoyed me. And I was trying to find a way to retaliate in a nice way. And eventually it's like, God's like, don't do it. You know, I was like, okay, fine. I just, yesterday was a hard day. So in a way, because of all of the different ideas of what should be done. And, you know, my in-laws had ideas, you know. So, and we've been doing this for 6 years, and they still have great ideas that we all should be doing. So, so that was that part of it. But another part, one of my family members didn't, he couldn't come, and he didn't text me back either, and I was annoyed with him. And this morning, I was talking to my wife about why didn't he text me back, and it hit me. Maybe he's got problems, and I need to be kind and generous to him and see how he's doing. And it didn't occur to me to this meeting. It's like, oh, oops, okay, right. I don't know anything about it. So let's not be angry. Let's pray and see if what can I do for him. And that's not what I really want. I want to do it my way, but I'm going to try. I'm trying to do it the program way, and it's really worked for me. But I gotta be really humble and meek, and sometimes that's hard for me. Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much, Jeff A., and everybody that has shared. So appreciate it. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
You bet. Good morning. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.